This is Spirit Network Radio, a PBS radio production hosted by renowned clairvoyant medium Francine Milano. Spirit Network is committed to the dawning age of enlightenment, from the psychic to the holistic. If it's on the mind, body, and spirit, it's on Spirit Network.
Hello! Welcome to Spirit Network. I'm your host, Francine Milano, and I look forward to spending the next hour with you. I talk a lot about the spiritual side on this show, but we have to remember we came here to live this earth life in the body, and in order to live it, the mind, body, and spirit alignment is very important. If we aren't centered, obviously, we're really going to be off balance. And today, it's all about the food we're investing in our current earth journey. Do we really know what we're eating? A lot has changed in our food supply in recent years, and today I'm turning to the experts. We're going to learn about GMOs, how to live organic on a budget, and since the season is upon us, not behind us yet, I want to know how we're going to survive the holidays, and that's the part I'm really interested in. But before I introduce my guests, let me tell you a little bit about our sponsor today. Today's show is brought to you by Intuitive Consultants of Lancaster, PA. John and Maggie provide hypnotherapy, past life regression, and clairvoyant readings. They also offer controlled remote viewing, a proven tool to find lost objects and pets. Many of their services are available online worldwide. So visit their website at www.intuitiveconsultants.net. or call them at 717-340-2121. If you would like to be a sponsor on Spirit Network, we have many advertising options. Our shows are not just live, but they're archived on the BBS website, and the podcast is available on iTunes. So your message plays on to reach many people after the broadcast. Simply email us at radio@spiritnetwork.com. Now, our big focus today concerns fueling the body, what the stress of the earth life does to it, as well as the food we put into it. When we're healthy, we're obviously happy and whole. Now, my two guests today are Dr. Jeannie Peck and Emily Givler from Health by Design Natural Clinic, with locations in Leola and Quarryville, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hey, thank you, Francine. Thanks for having us. We're excited.
My pleasure. Thank you for being here. Let's talk a little bit about your backgrounds first. Jeannie, can you tell us a little bit about your background in the holistic health field?
Certainly. I'm educated as a doctor of natural medicine, and what that means is naturopathic doctor training with some medical training as well. But I have lots of specialties, lots of certification courses that I've taken throughout the years, functional diagnostic nutrition, all about the thyroid, the adrenal stress, gluten intolerance, all those types of things. I've had Health by Design Natural Clinic open. I'm going into my fifth year. And last year we did add a second location, and that's in Quarryville. The main clinic is in Leola. But my doctorate is with the Pan American School of Natural Sciences.
Well, that's a lot, actually.
It is. Yeah.
Emily, what is your background? What is your title?
I'm a pediatric nutrition consultant and a dietary supplements counselor. So I deal mostly with the kids here at Health by Design, as well as the healthy eating end. So I deal with the food end of things here, and food is something that I'm very passionate about, so that works out quite well.
Sure. And I want to share with the listeners, actually, that Emily has had me on a liver cleanse last week. Well, we have a lot to talk about there.
How are you feeling, Francine? You're not angry, are you?
No, not. I went through the 12 steps, but no, I'm fine.
Awesome.
Yeah, but you know, it just brings more questions up for me, because I really am trying to make a lot of improvements in my life, and it's a real eye-opener, so I'm so glad you could come today. And Jeannie, can you tell our listeners a little bit about the clinic and what it actually offers people, as well as from yourself, as well as from Emily?
Sure. Well, we have nutritional counseling, and we work a lot with functional assessments of systems like hormonal systems, digestion, and detoxification is a big one. And so we'll see. We like to see families, actually, a lot of women, but then they bring the men in and then we see the children. So we're really, going forward, we're seeing a lot of families as far as, so I think this fits really good in with the GMO topic because, it's difficult for one person in the family to go GMO free.
Oh,
But
I'm sure. Yeah.
great, but if you really get on board with it as a family, that's awesome. So
Yeah.
that's basically what we do here.
Well, okay, so let's get right into the GMO issue then. A lot of people are well educated in them, and a lot of people aren't sure what they are. What I'd like you to do, if you would please, just tell us a little bit about GMOs and how they got into most of our current food supply.
Sure, I can take that. Actually, there's a frightening amount of people who have never even heard of GMOs. This is a really recent development in food. GMOs have only been present in our food supply since the mid-90s. So these are very, very new products, and they look like regular foods and they taste like regular foods, but at the level of their DNA, their genetic code, they are something that our bodies have never seen before.
That's
So
scary, Emily. That's
it is,
scary.
and it has me scared, and so I have been not shutting up about them because I think we all have the right to know. In the United States, GMOs are in over 80% of foods on supermarket shelves, so unless you're conscientiously avoiding them, you are absolutely eating them.
That must be really hard to actually avoid. I mean, to be non-GMO, I'm actually trying it, and it's just impossible. But if you can, I'm sure, alleviate a lot of them, that's going to help you. How did they get into our current food supply?
Well, the main manufacturer of GMOs is a company called Monsanto, and they make about 90% of the GMO seeds on the shelves. And they are a chemical company, and they're a chemical company that's now in control of our food supply. So what does that tell you? But
Wow.
all you have to do to find out how they got into our food supply is follow the money, because Monsanto also makes the herbicide Roundup. So they started genetically engineering seeds to be resistant to Roundup so that you could spray your entire field and kill the weeds, but leave your crop unharmed. So from a marketing position, this sounds great if you're Monsanto. Make the genetically modified seeds and sell those to people, make the Roundup that goes along with it and sell that to people. So they've been sliding this in under the radar. They told the FDA that they see no reason why GMO shouldn't be considered safe. And despite objections from FDA scientists, the higher ups at the FDA said, "Okay, Monsanto, we'll trust you." And so little by little, these foods have really dramatically increased in our food supply.
So really, it's about grains, agriculture, and the agriculture that ends up not only on the shelf in your mac and cheese box, but also in your dairy because of what the animals eat, correct?
Absolutely. And not just the dairy, your meat as well, if the livestock has been fed, especially genetically modified corn or soy. And both of those, about 90% of field corn and about 90% of soy are currently genetically modified.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know it was that high.
Yeah,
So
it's
it's you got to really, really look for specific labels and everything like that, I'm sure, but that's not easy to do.
No, because GMOs are currently unlabeled in the United States. Over 60 countries around the world either require labeling or have outright bans on GMOs because there are some really tremendously scary health hazards finally being associated with them now that independent science is being done.
Well, tell me, what symptoms and conditions have GMOs been linked to?
Oh my gosh, this is kind of a laundry list, so brace yourselves.
That's okay. We're here. We're here for a while.
Autism, ADHD, Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, fibromyalgia, arthritis, chronic fatigue syndrome.
Muscle and joint pain, leaky gut.
Leaky gut is a big one because that opens the door to so many other autoimmune conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really pervasive things. Food allergies are another huge one. Food allergies have increased over 400% since GMOs were introduced. And remember, that's less than 20 years ago.
Well, I have to admit, I 20 years ago, I don't remember any of those things that you just mentioned.
Right.
I mean, it makes sense.
So what's that telling you, Francine?
Well, it makes you pretty suspicious, but I'm sure that there's a lot of science and research being done to back that up.
Oh, absolutely. And this summer alone, about a half a dozen studies came out confirming that all of those conditions have direct links to GMOs.
Really? So now I haven't seen a whole lot of things splashed out on the front page of the LA Times and the New York, you know, what's going on here? How come I have not heard this on CNN?
Oh, well, actually, you might be hearing a little bit more about it because there's a big vote coming up in Washington State this coming week to require labeling of GMOs in Washington State. The reason that a lot of us have not heard anything is because a lot of the major food manufacturers dump big money into advertising campaigns to convince people that GMOs are safe. And that can particularly be seen out in Washington right now. It was seen in California a few months ago when they had a similar bill come up to require labeling of GMOs. I mean, companies like PepsiCo and Kraft are dumping hundreds of thousands of dollars into keeping us in the dark about GMOs.
So it's all about the lobbying, and it's still, more of the money trail.
Absolutely. If you look at the staffing of the USDA and the FDA, you'll find it is fraught with former Monsanto executives. It's like a revolving door between the USDA, the FDA, and Monsanto.
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you a little bit about that a little bit later on. I want to ask you this about the conditions and the symptoms of GMOs. How would you know? I mean, other than if you were diagnosed with one of the laundry list items that you mentioned, how would you know that you're being affected in your health? I mean, does everybody have different symptoms or, is there a common thread that, you know, you have to look at this and the doctor doesn't know what's wrong and you really should look at your GMOs?
Yeah, I mean, GMOs are part of some of the symptoms that people are experiencing. We're not going to say that they're the whole kit and caboodle, but you know, if you have anything like digestive issues, food sensitivities such as skin eruptions or rashes, a toxic liver, you're having elimination problems,
or if you're just not feeling as good as you think you should feel. A lot of the conditions mm-hmm. that GMO cause are a very low level pervasive feeling of illness. You know,
you just can't
energy.
Put your finger on it. Like,
exactly.
Why, you know, I don't feel as well as I used to. Why? And you know, what's really scary and sad, Francine, is a lot of people attribute that to the aging process, and it's just not true.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense. And then your doctor says you're just getting older.
Right, right.
You know, IBS, let's just, you know. I mean, you know, syndromes and things that crack me up because they're just umbrella things that really say, I don't know what it is, so this is what we're going to call it.
Absolutely, like IBS or fibromyalgia. So you're not feeling good. Here's an umbrella. Let's not address it because now you have a label.
Exactly. And it's so much easier, isn't it? But of course, let's do a million-dollar test or two first, just to add a little more money into the healthcare system.
Yeah, so, well, some of that may be changing soon.
Well, that would be good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's more Washington voting that we need to do on that.
Right. We really have to be proactive in our own health and not depend on the government for what we're going to need. You know, functional nutrition is really an self-opt-in care. So it's really about taking your own health into your own hands.
But unfortunately, it is very important. I agree with you, but so many people don't. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of depend on the government. You know, I mean, we shoot ourselves in the foot because we don't manage our health care. And then but a lot of people think the government is going to just fix everything, when a lot of times they're actually the problem. You know, so,
absolutely. And GMOs are a big area where we can really take control of our own health and take these proactive steps to be accountable to ourselves. You know, if I make changes in my life, then I'm the one who's going to feel better for it. If you make changes in your life, you're the one who directly benefits you and your family. And if enough of us make changes, then maybe we'll see it on a larger scale.
Well, you know, I read in Europe that GMOs have been removed from the shelves due to mass protests over the issue. And I'm not a big activist, actually, myself, but I would consider just about anything to save lives. Are there things that we can do on a social level specifically to make the same change? And are there any activist groups that you know of that are being recognized for this cause?
Oh, absolutely. And now is really a critical point for GMOs. There are a lot of wonderful organizations out there. I do a lot of work with GMO-free Lancaster County because this is my home base. And I also work with GMO-free Pennsylvania and Moms Across America Against Monsanto. So there, you can find them all over Facebook. Just plug in GMOs, and I'm sure you can find a local group. But there's also the Institute for Responsible Technology, and they are really a wealth of information. If you want to read more of the studies on GMOs, or if you want to watch some of the fantastic movies that they've put out, such as Genetic Roulette, then that is the organization to donate to or get involved with. And right now through next Saturday the 9th, you can actually log on to geneticroulette.com and screen that documentary for free.
Wonderful. Okay. It's
really an eye-opening film.
And I did want to mention also, Francine, that on our website, you know, Emily really does a great job with putting some of these high-profile articles up there along with some of the research. And that can be found at hbdclinic.com. And like I said, she does a great job with just keeping everyone in the know of current research and what's going on out there with GMOs. Well, topics like GMOs. There's some other topics there too, but
Good. So that is HBD for Health by Design clinic.com.
That's correct.
You can also check out our Facebook page because I do post a lot about GMOs on there. I feel like I've got my soapbox at the ready all the time when it comes to GMOs these days.
Now, your page on Facebook is actually Health by Design Natural Clinic, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And I am a fan of your Facebook page. And I will tell you, Emily, you do really good job with like blogging, and Jeannie, you do great job with posting. I mean, there's always something interesting. So even if you're not local in Lancaster, there's a lot of tips and things that you open my eyes to. So kudos to that. I tell everybody about your Facebook. So
that's great.
Yeah. So also, I want to talk a little bit about how we can reverse damage from GMOs that have, you know, things that have been done to our bodies. I mean, can we make a reversal of this, even if it's not 100%, like such as detoxing foods or exercise?
Absolutely. Now, some effects of GMOs you can correct for, and others, there may be some longer-term consequences. And there's currently a lot of research being done to find out what we can do. But in the meantime, the first step you can take is to reduce the amount of GMOs that you're currently eating. And you can check out the Environmental Working Group's list of Clean 15 and Dirty Dozen Plus if you need to prioritize where you're going to put your money into organics and where you're not. So cut out as many GMOs as you can, number one. But then you want to work on taking other stressors off of your body as well. Jeannie, maybe you can tell us more about that.
Sure. I mean, a lot of times, you know, these ingesting these GMO foods are going to create problems. You know, here at the clinic, we look at the whole body. We really take a holistic approach where we put all the pieces of the puzzle together. We'll look at the past health history, the present health history, and just put that all together to come up with a plan of where you want to be with your health. And a lot of times, you know, the residuals of these GMOs can really be at the base of it. But we'll do some functional testing and we'll get down to the root causes so that you can address those, so that we can address them together. But, you know, things that you might notice is, you know, with these food sensitivities, again, I'll mention the skin rashes or bloating, or, you know, even excessive burping after we eat, things like that, that will just indicate some digestive problems. Or, you know, a lot of people that I see, Francine, have constipation issues. I am seeing more and more of that. And that is just telling me that there is definitely a gut dysfunction, or what's called dysbiosis. And, you know, with that, there is a definite protocol that we will address. And sometimes it means just taking out foods that are on that list of high GMO, like, you know,
high pesticide.
High pesticides. And we'll remove all those foods that could be inflammatory triggers. And then we'll clean up the gut. And then what we'll do is, you know, slowly bring some of those foods back in to see if any of those symptoms are returning. And so that's a way to be able to tell.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's interesting too is that just that visual about the gut, that seems to be, correct me if I'm wrong, a very, very common, or one of the most common problems with GMOs, that, you know, that it's an unidentified problem in the gut, and that they talk about these GMOs and how it's designed, that there was a picture of a bug that kind of exploded after eating a kernel of corn. Mm-hmm. And do you remember that?
Absolutely.
That was actually the way the Roundup worked. That was a demonstration of, you know, your corn will be safe because the corn will kill the insects if they try to eat them, but it's okay for us to eat. That was the weird thing, you know, like, it's okay for us to eat.
Right. And, you know, Francine, a really scary part, and I'm going to let Emily talk a little bit about this, is gut health is really relational to brain health. And if the gut is compromised some way, it's really going to affect the way that you think and the way that you're, you know, this is where things like the Alzheimer's and Parkinson's come into play too. So can you talk a little bit about the brain and gut health?
Absolutely. And it really does tie into how the GMOs and the chemicals that are associated with the GMOs, like Roundup, how those influence our body. Roundup is designed to affect a specific pathway that only occurs in plants, called the Shikimate pathway. And so Monsanto has said for years, oh, it's totally safe. It's completely non-toxic. This pathway doesn't even exist in mammals, which is true. But there are over 100 trillion, that's trillion with a T, 100 trillion microbiota in our digestive tract. They outnumber the cells in our own bodies 10 to 1. So there's this entire universe within our guts that all have this pathway that's being impacted by the Roundup residue and the GMOs. So you eat the GMO foods and you kill off these bacteria, which are crucial for not just digestion, but also immune system function and other important functions like the breakdown of proteins and the production of serotonin. Mm-hmm. And so you end up with this permeable gut. And whenever you see that happening in the gut, the same thing happens in your brain. So some studies have found the same type of changes that occur in the brains of Alzheimer's patients in the GI tract 10 years before any cognitive dementia symptoms develop. The gut really is our second brain, and what we do to the gut impacts the rest of our body.
Well put.
That's scary. That's mm-hmm. really, really scary. So I, you know, and as you're talking about this, I mean, it's not, maybe it's not just, it's not just Alzheimer's and, you know, there's crazy people out there. I have to tell you another thing we didn't have 20 years ago, we didn't have school shooters.
Mm.
And I got to tell you, kids' foods are probably the biggest GMOs ever because they won't even eat healthy stuff. I'm scared.
Yeah. And, you know, rising autism rates, rising rates of ADD and ADHD, children are more vulnerable. Their bodies are developing at a much more rapid rate. And our children are really the first generation that's grown up eating GMOs. So they're the canaries in the coal mine. Our elderly and our kids are basically Monsanto's lab rats right now.
Right, but the children, this is what, the only thing they know is GMOs.
Exactly.
I mean, maybe they're not getting symptoms the way people that have never had them in their bodies before.
Well, they're getting the symptoms.
Yeah,
because we see
them.
It may
be different, but do they get them differently because they, I mean, it's not like they're going to get an immunity to them, but is it different for people that have never had them in their body until recently?
Well, the way that GMOs affect the body is progressive and cumulative. So a lot of the conditions that are becoming epidemic can be tied in one way or other to GMOs. And they may have other causes, but GMOs are definitely a piece of the puzzle. So all of these children who are born with autism, all of these kids who are medicated for ADHD, the rising childhood obesity rates, the rising rates of type 2 diabetes in children.
Depression, insomnia, the list goes on and on.
Absolutely. So we're seeing all these conditions affect children that they didn't used to have, and we're not putting, well, some of us are putting the pieces together, but not enough people are putting the pieces together that the foods that we are eating today are not what they used to be. And you know, it's somewhat cliche, but we really are what we eat.
Well, you know what, I was going to say that, but and the fact is, you can't tell the difference.
Exactly.
And that's scary.
So let's
say scary. Like, how many times am I going to say scary? This is the only episode I've ever said that.
For any of your listeners in Washington State, you know, this is a big week, and there's actually here in Pennsylvania some legislation that's moving through the state house, so it may come up for a vote here as well if we're lucky.
Right. So get involved. Definitely get involved. Get involved. That's really important.
Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call your representatives. You know, that's what they are there for. You are their constituents. Let them hear your voice.
And I'm sure there's a lot of online petitions as well, correct?
There are. And there's a lot of really great resources online. Again, for anybody locally, GMO Free Lancaster or GMO Free Pennsylvania are great resources. But almost every state has a local organization that if you want to get involved, everyone can use more help on this issue.
Wonderful. Well, you know, and we have to make better choices for ourselves, like you said. But, you know, many of us at times, and including myself, have at one time or another have had to make very difficult choices between health and our money. And these days, as you know, most of us are already on a tight food budget, especially larger families. And perhaps even in just making a compromise to incorporate a few organic foods into our daily diets, are there some that are more critical to put in the grocery cart than others?
Sure. Cutting out packaged and processed foods is a good idea because they are almost always GMO to some degree. So cutting those out helps most people in the budget department as well. You know, if you're on a tight budget, meat is almost always heavily laden with GMOs, and we really can't all afford to buy grass-fed or organic. So maybe elect to have one or two meatless meals a week. You know, just doing that is a little more budget friendly, and it's a way to eliminate a high level of GMOs. you know, plant a garden yourself and grow it yourself, then you know it's free of GMOs. And if you don't have a yard, you know, plant some pots on your windowsill.
And just to interject, you have to make sure your seeds are GMO free.
Yes, and there's a lot of really good sources for GMO free seeds. Okay. Heirloom varieties are all GMO free, and there's companies like Territorial Seed Company, and Johnny's Selecta Seed, and Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds is a really great resource. So if you're looking for GMO free seeds, any of those are good, and the Seed Savers Exchange as well. But for a budget, I always go back to the Environmental Working Group, and you can log on at ewg.org and check out their Clean 15 and Dirty Dozen, because there are a lot of produce items that it is okay to get conventionally raised. Things like sweet potatoes and sweet peas and eggplants and mushrooms and asparagus really have very few trace pesticides and are not genetically modified. So fill your cart with things like that. They're affordable, and you don't have to splurge on organics.
And, you know, if you're just getting started with this whole GMO-free thing, don't beat yourself up. You know, just take small changes over a period of time, and it's going to make a big difference, not only in your health, but in the lives of your children and your family members as well.
That's a great idea. Well, what is the highest foods that you really definitely should make sure you have organic? Like, you just don't even take a chance.
Apples and potatoes.
Apples and potatoes.
And both of those are not genetically modified. They are just totally loaded with pesticides. And it's impossible to wash them off because they penetrate completely through the fruit.
Really? So that would that just be the white potatoes that includes the sweet potatoes?
No, sweet potatoes don't actually have a lot of pesticides. So just the white potatoes.
Okay. All right. So that's good. And what about corn? Everything's like about corn and...
Oh, boy. Corn is pretty bad news when it comes to GMO. So almost all the field corn is genetically modified. And it's only within the past 2 years that we've seen GMO sweet corn hit the shelves and farm stands. So if you bought sweet corn at Walmart this summer, it was genetically modified. They have a contract with Monsanto. So, you know, if you're in Lancaster County or another area where you're lucky enough to be able to go to a farm and talk to your farmer, you know, ask them if it's genetically modified. And if they don't know what you're talking about, tell them what your concerns are. You know, talk to your farmer. But corn is a big one. Corn makes its way into almost every packaged and processed food as corn syrup or high fructose corn syrup or maltodextrin. And all of those are made from field corn, which is almost always GMO.
And anything with corn oil in it.
Absolutely. Or soy.
Soy is
another place of one. Isolates. You know, they're everywhere.
Well, I'll tell you, my husband, and this is, he's going to kill me, but he likes his spaghetti sauce. What can I tell you? I stay away from that jar stuff, but he had a jar of spaghetti sauce. We will go unnamed. And he's very interested in this GMO stuff. He's finally reading labels, you know, so he's actually eating it now while he's reading the label yesterday. And he goes, now this says all natural. Okay. All natural spaghetti sauce. And he's looking and he goes, but it's got canola oil and it's, you know, it's got these ingredients that are definitely not natural. You know, I don't know how they get away with that labeling, but I just wanted to bring up canola oil because it's really actually stands for Canadian.
Well,
the CAN is Canadian oil.
Well, canola is largely genetically modified, and canola comes from a plant which is also known as rapeseed, which is incredibly invasive, and somewhere along the lines, canola got this reputation as being heart healthy. Would you agree with that assessment?
Wow.
No. Avoid canola oils. Well, that's your American Heart Association coming up with that, and... you know, all the latest research that I've read, you know, of course I'm reading the other side of the story, and it's just contradicting all of the latest research. And, I don't think we really want to go there on this radio show, but yeah, stay away from canola oil. The good oils to eat would be olive oils. Coconut oil is excellent in many, many ways.
Even things like butter, if it's from grass-fed dairy, is going to be a healthier fat because it's a real fat. The hydrogenated oils, all the industrial fats are the ones that you really want to avoid, whether or not they're genetically modified. Canola just kind of wins all those prizes. So definitely.
Yeah, it just goes to show you, though, you see something that says all natural, you still need to read the label. Because there's nothing all natural about that.
No, and all natural is one of the biggest ways that the food industry has kind of pulled the wool over our eyes as consumers. But
it's amazing. No,
if you need a chemistry degree to read your ingredient label, it's probably not natural. And
you should probably just put it back on the shelf. And those that are on a really big budget, you know, do you know anything about ramen noodles? Because, you know, people are going to want to know.
Yeah, there.
That's all MSG anyway, isn't it?
It is. And, there's, as much as I would like to say that, yeah, it's a good budget friendly food. You're probably doing yourself more harm than good by eating those ramen noodles.
For sure. And you know, college students are not going to pass any tests if their brain's not functioning well.
Absolutely.
So just college students, get off the ramen noodles. Now, now, can we also take a moment to talk about beverages? Because I know a lot of people listening right now are wondering about their coffee. So let's start with coffee, and I'll ask you about a couple more. Are they considered dangerous for GMOs, or are there other issues that we need to be concerned about what coffee does to the body? Is it just the caffeine, or is there other stuff in it?
Coffee is not one that you have to worry about on the GMO end.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That's good to know.
I can address the caffeine situation in coffee. I know I see a lot of clients that will drink more than 2 cups of coffee a day. And I'll say, you know, from 2 to 10 a day is a little excessive. And typically, the reason that they're drinking that much caffeine, or, you know, whether it be in coffee or sodas, and soda or cola, or they're a totally different.
I'll talk about that.
So with coffee, I mean, basically, what they're doing is they're tired, and they can't function without the caffeine fix. And what physically what that caffeine is doing is basically poking and prodding the adrenal glands. So it's kind of getting the adrenal glands to, you know, pump up some more cortisol. And cortisol is that flight and fight hormone. In doing that, it gives them a little push of energy. But, you know, you can only do that for so long. You can only ride that wave for so long, Francine.
And well, yeah, I can only ride it right before an episode, and then I'm, you know, I have to have it before the show.
Right.
Well, some coffee is okay, but if you're counting on it all the time, then that's when you really need to look at the underlying issue. And, you know, I said that coffee is free of GMOs, and the coffee itself is, but if you're adding cream, and especially if you're adding sugar, I haven't even mentioned sugar with GMOs, but most sugar beets now are genetically modified, so the cream and sugar may be GMO, actually.
Oh, okay. So Jeannie, when you ride that wave, though, what's going to happen too many times?
Well, basically, your adrenal glands are not going to be able to keep up with the demand that your body needs for the cortisol, or this fight or flight hormone. And so you're going to become exhausted unless you do have the coffee. And it's the only thing that's going to be able to get you going throughout the day. You know, many people have that crash mid-afternoon, right after lunch, before dinner. And that's a typical sign of some adrenal dysfunction. So again, it's basically just that your adrenals cannot keep up with the demand that your body needs to keep going.
And cortisol, so people is a life-sustaining hormone, so you need it either way.
You absolutely need it, and it's a natural painkiller as well. So, I mean, those are things that you're going to see when you're you really have to be aware of how much coffee you're drinking. And so if you see yourself drinking that third, fourth, and even by the mid-afternoon, you're like, I just need another cup of coffee. It's time to take a step back and say, what's really going on? And, you know, it's okay to do that occasionally to kind of get through the day. But when you're doing it every day, it can really, you can really damage your body that way.
Can you reverse that damage if
most
someone
cases,
stops?
Yes, in most cases you can. Absolutely.
Well, that
it takes a little time.
Hope.
Pardon me?
That gives us all some hope.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it's painful. Yeah. It's withdrawal. It's a drug.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And it really is the withdrawal, the headaches. You know, I've seen people go through that. I'm fortunate not to be a coffee addict, but, you know, I do like my coffee once in a while. That's for sure.
Right. And in this kind of instance, if we can just give the adrenals some natural support, and, you know, most times if you have it that bad and you're starting to support the adrenals, you'll get even more tired because your adrenals are like, whew, we've really needed this for so long. And so your body just wants to rest so that it can rebuild. Typically, that can last a few days up to a few weeks. And then you start to feel like your energy is starting to come back. And slowly you'll regain that. And it, you know, by supporting the adrenals with some natural ingredients, herbs like ashwagandha, DHEA, some natural plant-based DHEA, things like that, then you're going to be able to recoup and get back on the path of a little bit more consistent energy throughout the day.
Right. Okay. Well, now,
and also be able to sleep better at night.
Yeah. A lot. You know, my husband has to put a pot of coffee on to sleep at night.
Mm.
I know it's bad. We're not going to go there, but sorry, I don't mean to trash him with his spaghetti sauce and his coffee, but he knows I love him. So soda is another thing that people just need to hook up an IV line sometimes. And I used to drink a lot of soda. I was able to give that up a couple years ago, but we've all heard terrible things, obviously, in recent years about soda. Can you shed some light on what soda is doing to the body, and is it GMO free?
No. Absolutely not.
I like the giggle on there, like, oh God, she's crazy.
No, I mean, where do you want to begin? This is like a GMO cocktail between the aspartame if it's diet soda, or the sugar if it's not diet soda, and the high fructose corn syrup. You have just one great big chemical cocktail. The coloring and the caramel coloring in your cola is genetically modified. I mean, just about every component in
it. Bad. Okay. Yeah. And well, so, which you kind of know, but yeah, go ahead.
We have a great handout on the not so beneficial facts of soda. You know, why not to drink soda and why you should drink more water. So if anybody wants that, they can certainly contact us.
Oh, we're going to get your contact information shortly too.
Those are
very good. So better alternatives might be organic teas maybe and filtered water. Anything else? I mean, it's like God food for me. I think that just like water, people.
Water is what our bodies want to drink.
Water. Dress it up with a little lemon. Come on.
Yeah, and herbal teas are great. Also,
you could try fermented beverages like kombucha. You know, then you're getting some probiotics, which will help you to rebuild from the damage that the GMOs caused.
That's right. That supports your immune system, probiotics.
Absolutely.
Now, I heard the human strain is what you really want, not the more than you want the synthetic, correct?
Well, and not so much synthetic, but the plant and animal strains. And it's a little tricky to figure out the difference because here's another area where they're not really labeled, but most over-the-counter probiotics are plant and animal strain in origin. So our bodies get some benefit from them as long as we're taking them. But once you stop taking them, they're kind of flushed from your system and you lose that benefit. But through clinicians like us here at Health by Design, you can get human strain probiotics, which your system will support for up to 3 weeks. There are some tremendous benefits that you get from the human strain versus the plant and animal.
Oh, that's good. Now you do phone consultations, correct?
We do. We do a number of phone consultations and also available through Skype.
Yeah, because you're really not everybody's local, but everybody can at least reach out to you. And let's get a little contact information if, you know, that they can reach you after the show. You have your website is hbdclinic.com. That's healthbydesignclinic.com. And they can call you. You give the number, Jeannie. Make sure I had it right.
Sure. It's area code 717-556-8103. That's our phone number, and you can reach us at both clinics at that number. And our email address is info@hbdclinic.com.
That's great. And you're in Leola, Pennsylvania, and you also have an office in Quarryville, PA.
Right. And both of those are in Lancaster County.
And definitely need to check out that Facebook. Definitely.
Yes. Yes. We have a Facebook account. We're not Twitterers. Not yet.
No, I'm not a Twitterer either. I mean, there's just so many things that you've got to keep up with. You know, now we've got the Google Plus and, you know, I'll catch up. I'll catch up too. So tell me this. I would like to talk a little bit, since we're in the season, about the holidays coming up. Now, for me, trying to make some dietary changes, I'm like, oh, the fact was that Larry and I were going to stay home this year for Thanksgiving because I didn't really want to get into the big crowd. And I thought, I don't want to make a tofurkey, but I figured I'd make kind of an organic, try that out. And then suddenly my cousins call and say they're going to be in town. And basically, can we stop in? Are you having Thanksgiving? Blah, blah, blah. So now I'm cooking for a group, which I wasn't expecting.
How that happens.
Exactly. So this is either a big shopping time for people who are cooking for the family, or they're a guest maybe dreading a table full of GMOs. So with them coming, can you offer some tips to how to get through the holidays with, I mean, I always feel like, you know, crap basically the day after Thanksgiving. I don't even know how people go shopping.
Mm-hmm. Well, you stole one of my top tips, Francine, which was to host yourself, because then you are in control over the foods that are on the table.
Yeah, maybe my cousin's got to have to deal with it. Maybe I will make a tofurkey. They'll never come again, no.
Well, watch out with the tofurkey and make sure it's organic, because if the soy in the tofu is not organic, then you've got a big plate of GMOs.
Oh, that's soy. That's right. Well, no, I was never going to do that. And I love my cousins dearly. They can come anytime. But I was, you know, planning. I can't find organic cranberries yet, but I'm looking.
Cranberries are not typically genetically modified.
So that's good to know.
Don't have to worry about that there. And again, sweet potatoes are not are going to be a good low pesticide. You don't have to worry about it being organic. It's not genetically modified. So, you know, they're a staple for almost everybody. So feel free to go crazy with the sweet potatoes, but maybe avoid the sweet potatoes with marshmallows. Maybe just roast or bake your sweet potatoes instead, because that sugar component is where you're going to get the GMOs.
Cinnamon and organic butter. That's just the way to go.
There you go.
But how about the bird? Now that's a whole different story.
Right. And there are places where you can get either organically raised or pastured turkey. We're especially lucky here in Lancaster County. But, you know, that's something that if you look for it, you're going to pay a little bit of a premium, but you can find, and, you know, look for one that's pastured or grass-fed versus one that's been raised in tiny little cages in cramped conditions and fed antibiotics and genetically modified feed and hormones. It's going to taste better, and you will feel better eating that bird than the other.
Now, at Christmas time, there's a lot of people that insist on having a ham.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really talk about pork. I'm assuming that their feed, I don't want to know what they eat. Okay, I do like ham, but I'm afraid to go near it. So any kind of tips on, is there one better than another? Can you buy organic ham?
You can, and locally, Meadow Run Farm in Lititz and Oasis at Burden Hand both have really great pork. I actually just made some pork from Oasis at Bird in Hand, and it was fantastic. They do woodland pork, and the pigs actually are foraging the way pigs would like to live, eating acorns and things like that. And,
oh, wow.
You know, the better the life of the animal that you are eating, the better the quality and taste of the meat. We need to treat all of our foods with respect, our vegetables, our proteins. You know, that energy is what helps us to grow and thrive. And when we compromise what we're putting into ourselves, we end up compromising our energy, our health, and our well-being. So, yeah, you'll pay a premium, but you get a lot more out of it that way.
I couldn't have said that better myself. I think it's the fuel that we're putting in our body. And, you know, for me, I'm guilty of it. I'm a bigger girl. But it's just a learning process. And as long as we can get the education out there, we're going to make changes, better changes, like every year. And I think that you two girls are doing a phenomenal job just getting that message out. And anything I can do for you, just let me know. And I'm definitely going to check out the links that you said. Could you give us those websites that we should look at one more time, as far as, you know, getting involved to make changes in legislation and things?
Oh, absolutely. Well, for making changes for yourself, check out EWG.org. That's the Environmental Working Group for their Clean 15 and Dirty Dozen Plus. Log on to Facebook and search for GMO-free wherever you live, and you will find resources. And wherever you live, look up your state representatives, especially the House representatives right now. Pick up the phone and call them. It takes 2 minutes, and believe it or not, they are actually excited to hear from you.
And on November 9th, you had mentioned to go to geneticroulette.com. Is that
actually any time from now through November 9th, geneticroulette.com, and you can screen for free the excellent documentary, Genetic Roulette, The Gamble of Our Lives. If you want to know more about GMOs, this will open your eyes to it.
Yeah, I saw that, and that was the one that really did it for me. That was just like a jaw dropper. So I recommend anybody do that like as soon as possible while it's still free. Mm-hmm. And so give us your website and phone number one more time before we go.
Sure. And I just want to mention too, Saturday, November 9th, if you live in Pennsylvania, we do have a big open house coming up. It's our fourth annual. It's from 12 to 3 here at 12 Keystone Court in Leola, Pennsylvania. And our website, would you like me to tell you our
website?
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I was going to say they can also call you for that address. And,
sure.
I've been there. It's a wonderful event, and you've got vendors, and you've got a lot of GMO-free food, organic food, and just come out and meet Jeannie and Emily, and I will most likely be there myself at some point.
Yeah, and, you know, this is a pretty big event, but we're not tooting our own horn. This is really for the community. We are so passionate about really educating the community, and this is one way that we can kind of give back. So if they want some more information on that, they can check out our Google Calendar on our website, which is hbdclinic.com, or they can give us a call. We'd be happy to answer any of their questions about the event or anything else that we talked about today. And our phone number, again, is 717-556-8103. And we can also be reached by email. info@hbdclinic.com.
Well, Jeannie and Emily from Health by Design Natural Clinic, thank you so much for being on the show. It was so great to have you here to sort out some of the pieces. I know there's a lot more of the pieces to be sorted out, but we appreciate a good head start, and hopefully we can make better choices. And thank you again for being on the show.
Thank you. It was really our pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for having us and for getting this message out.
All right. Thank you. Keep up the good work. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, friends. Before we go, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Ayoshi cards. If you haven't had your free online reading yet, go to ayoshicards.com. That's shicards.com. You can also reach that link from spiritnetwork.com. Problems in relationships, job, money issues, simply ask a question and click on the three cards, and your answer will be revealed. So thanks for being here today. Until next time, much love. Bye.
You've been listening to Spirit Network Radio. For more information about the show, please visit spiritnetwork.com. For more information about your host, psychic medium Francine Milano, visit her website at francinemilano.com. Until next time, remember that peace begins with an open heart.